Will the book go the way of the 8-track tape?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. The big online retailer Amazon yesterday announced that sales of digital books are pulling ahead of the old paper-style information transfer devices. Here to talk about it live is Marketplace's John Dimsdale. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Bill.
So we've been hearing more and more about ebook readers. What's this latest tidbit?
Well, Amazon says for every 100 hardcover books out the door over the past 3 months, it sold 143 books electronically. Now, Amazon is famously very secretive about the exact numbers of Kindles and the ebooks that it sells. But faced with all the headlines about how Apple's iPads are taking over the market, Amazon did release a few tantalizing tidbits about what's going on in the ebook industry. And, you know, there's a price war going on right now among ebook readers, and Kindle sales tripled when the price dropped below $200.
And why are these book and ebook lines crossing now?
Well, in a word, competition. Not only are there iPads and Kindles, but several other ebook readers are either on the market now or planning to come to market in the near future.
So are people buying ebooks instead of hardcover books, or are they just buying more books?
Well, that's not clear. Traditional book sales are also increasing. Amazon's comparison is only between hardbound books and ebooks. It doesn't take into account sales of much more popular paperback books. The experts say they need several more months of data to know whether ebooks are cutting into the popularity of traditional books.
Okay, Marketplace's John Dimsdale joining us. Thanks, John.
Thanks, Bill.
In Washington today, Senate Democrats are expected to win a vote to extend unemployment benefits. Republicans say they, too, want to get the money into the hands of the unemployed, but that Democrats should find a way to pay for the help. Let's do the numbers. Stocks barely qualify for the happy music this morning. They are up modestly around the world, as they were yesterday in New York. The Dow Industrials yesterday added 56 points, closed at 10,154. After the market closed, IBM said its profits were better than expected last quarter, but its sales were a little disappointing. So we'll see how investors feel about that in a few hours. One way Americans have been trying to save money is by paying for their funerals ahead of time. Consumers have put billions of dollars into trust funds that lock in today's prices for burial or cremation, and the money also earns interest. In California, though, regulators have found problems with the way managers have handled the money in one of the state's biggest funeral trusts. Reporter April Demboski has our story.
There's about $65 million in the funeral fund known as the California Master Trust. State auditors found that managers spent some of that money on lobbying and conventions. They also paid themselves illegal administrative fees and gave kickbacks to funeral homes. Russ Heimrich is a spokesman for the state's Department of Consumer Affairs. He says the lost money could impact consumers' funeral bills.
If I put $3,000 in trust expecting it to grow to cover the cost of a funeral when I die, because a lot of the money was not used correctly, a lot of the interest income was taken away that should not have been.
The case in California is just the latest instance of misspending. Josh Slocum is the director of the Funeral Consumers Alliance. He says a lack of oversight and regulation creates problems all over the country.
Every week, there's at least one more case of pre-need theft. They come in with surprising regularity.
Managers of the California Trust did not return phone calls, but they are required to submit a report for corrective action to the state in August. I'm April Demboski for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com. And by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, working to strengthen America by empowering more young people to achieve educational success beyond high school.
Yesterday, we told you how some groups are touting medical tourism to uninsured Americans. This is where you go to a foreign country to get medical treatment cheaper than you can get it here. Now, some American insurance companies are hoping to send patients overseas, too. And as Kevin Ferguson explains, those companies are appealing directly to employers.
Just after the health care bill became law, David Boucher's phone really started to ring. David is CEO of a company called Companion Global Healthcare. It's an offshoot of Blue Cross. His company works in the medical tourism industry, sending Americans with jobs and insurance to foreign hospitals. Patients get otherwise expensive procedures done in places like India and Costa Rica, usually at a fraction of the cost to their employers.
You know, I will tell you, we've had more requests for information from employers in the first quarter of 2010 than we had all in 2009.
Employers like Blue Lake Casino in Northern California joined on in 2008. Jack Norton runs their HR department.
Health reform is, to me, it's a goal of reducing medical cost, and I haven't seen any significant strategy that has the potential to reduce cost like medical tourism.
It can pay off for the employees, too. If a patient opts to go abroad, they won't pay a cent. No deductible, no copay. They even get a free trip. In fact, employees of Norton's company will actually make money, 10% of whatever the company saved. So say if they head overseas for a heart bypass and save the casino $50,000.
We're offering the patient a $5,000 savings stipend.
But getting the patient on the plane is a different story. Stephen Wallace is a health policy professor at UCLA. He says that while bosses love the idea, employees still need a lot of convincing.
People want to be close to home when they get really sick. Being in a foreign land, even if it's a Hilton Hotel type of setting, is still distressing when you don't have family nearby.
Patients also worry they won't be able to sue should something go wrong. Those concerns could be why not a single employee at Blue Lake Casino has volunteered for a procedure overseas. But that might soon change. Norton himself needs knee surgery, and he's in talks with doctors everywhere. Just not here in the U.S. I'm Kevin Ferguson for Marketplace.
That was part two. You can hear both parts of Kevin's report at our website, marketplace.org. And finally, the banks have learned their lesson. No more giving mortgages to people without income, like pregnant women. The New York Times reports banks are denying loans to women out on maternity leave because they might not go back to work. So if you're expecting a baby, you may not be able to get that new house that you wanted to get because you're expecting a baby. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.